Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 27th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And maybe Beth Habacker? Not yet. Okay, we'll see. Well, Beth is going to hopefully be joining us soon. We're looking forward to that when she does. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. We got good things lined up for you. We, of course, are going to get into, I got to touch on this one, the Disney Superfan. We've got a Disney Superfan we have to get into that did something pretty interesting.
Okay.
Got that coming up. Starbucks wants you to order coffee based on your zodiac sign.
Great.
Should be interesting. That's coming up for you a little bit later. Of course, in just a little bit, we'll get to our National Day of Calendar. Looking forward to that. 8 o'clock hour, we will kick things off with some fun stuff. And by that, I mean our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We're looking forward to being getting a live update from them.
Yes.
Should be good right there. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day. That ain't right stories. And we, kick off the 9 o'clock hour, as like we do every Monday, with the kitchens open.
Yes, we do.
Looking forward to that. Mel has a good one written up today. It's going to be good. Cannot wait. I do want to take this moment, though, to remind the audience that we've got a fun programming note going on. Starting next month, we're going to have our Veterans Update back.
All right.
Our good friend Bill Heck is going to be joining us with our monthly veterans updates again. Really looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. We've missed Bill around here. Mm-hmm. Missed being able to cover that for our vets. Bill does a great job with it. He'll be joining us on Mondays right after the kitchen's open.
Excellent.
So you guys usually wrap up around 9:20-ish mm-hmm. or so, and probably shortly after that, Bill will join us.
Perfect.
That is going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, Melissa, how was your weekend? I don't know. How was your weekend? I was going to ask, but you seem a little busy, and I don't want to
No, ask.
Okay. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good.
Good.
We actually got to go out to the Sugar Shack and help make maple syrup, which I know you love maple syrup. So it's one of your favorite things, and yes. Maple syrup is amazing. Mm. And it's fun to see the process. So the friend's place that we go out to, they have a really big area of woods that all the trees are tapped,
yeah.
And they have it's blue tubing that goes from tree to tree and just through the whole thing. And then there's like a big tube that kind of runs from a collection point on one end of the woods to the sugar shack on the other end of the woods. And it empties into a bulk tank, like you'd see in a milk parlor. And then that goes into a big cooker, and you got to fire up, and you got to check the temperature before you draw the syrup off. And it's really cool process, and it smells amazing.
All I heard was maple syrup. I apologize.
That's
the whole
okay.
time you were talking, all I was thinking about is waffle. It is really kind of a really cool process.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. And I talking with the guys at Historic Point Boss about it and stuff too. One of the things I guess it just boggles me, as long as it's been around, how there's certain families that have been doing it for certainly such a long time and everything. That part of it is really cool to me too. And that's a fun week, a nicely done.
Yeah, and it's a big gathering of people that this was the first time I think that everybody was out there, and there were a lot of us. So we brought out a bunch of food. You know, we cooked brats and hamburgers on the grill, and just had a good time hanging out together.
Took advantage of a little bit of the weather?
It was a little chillier than I wanted it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturday morning was pretty chill, but you know, by mid-afternoon or so, it was warming up.
I was trying to get outside as much as I could this weekend.
Like
any excuse to be outside, I was taking it. We have a little bit of rainish flurries stuff throughout the week here and everything, and it looks like we're probably towards the end of March here. But man, these nicer temperatures and the sun coming out earlier and going away quite just every little bit of it. It's funny, you don't get used to that part. That you get used to the weather. You get used to a lot of things as far as winter and this changing of the seasons and everything. I don't think you ever really get bored with this change when you're going from winter to spring.
No, and when it's the fresh air and everything. Yeah, no.
Whether you're a winter person, a spring person, no matter what season you're into or anything, I think I don't know how you can enjoy this process a little
change
bit.
The change is nice.
That outside of the slush. I don't enjoy the slush. That's the one thing. That's the catch for me is the slush factor.
Yeah, slush is no fun.
Do we have Beth joining us? Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Hey,
I
thought you were with us. Hey, how's it going, Beth?
Other than being a little late, doing great.
Good. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was busy. We took a quick trip down to Madison on Saturday. I don't recommend driving in the snow when it's coming down like it's slush.
Yeah.
But no, Seth and I got to do the next installment of my birthday present, which is to go see one of the musicals down there. We got to see Chicago
at
the Overture Center, which was a great, great show. Always loved that. And then yesterday was kind of that rush of, you know, leading worship, getting packed, getting ready, and going on a little bit of a vacation for a few days with the boys.
Well, you guys deserve this. You had it coming. Sorry.
Well played.
That was a little bit of a reach. Oh, glad. How was the performance?
The performance was great. Personally, because I've seen the movie and I've seen other productions, some of the staging had room to grow. It was not as well staged as I'm used to, but the singing was phenomenal and the talent was out of this world. So it was
very cool. Very cool. I kept an eye on the house for you guys and everything. Drove by a couple times. Things look cool. Looked like a great turnout for the winter farmers market as well.
Yes, and it's still going. We got through April, and we always have a great variety of vendors there. I know we were also kind of spying on some of the other vendor fairs. Don't tell anybody. To see if we can interest anybody else in coming to check us out and see what's going on. But, yeah, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday, we get the chance to open up our doors and allow some vendors to come in. And what's really neat is these people are self-employed, so this is just kind of their income, or it's their side. Some would say side hustle, to just get a little bit of extra spending money, kind of thing. And it's a wonderful gathering place for the community. It's always fun to see people reconnect with each other and maybe meet some new people in the community.
If you are an interested vendor, I encourage you to reach out to the gang over there at the Moravian Church. You can do that by going to wrmoravian.org. wrmoravian.org. Find all your information right there. Appreciate you, Beth. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I wanted
Thank
to touch
you.
On
good
our.
To be here.
Yeah, it's good. I want to get into our schedule just a little bit, real quick, because we got Wisconsin men's basketball on the radio tomorrow and likely Thursday. Here's hoping. Wisconsin, of course, continuing on to the NIT tournament. That game will be at 5 o'clock on Tuesday versus North Texas. Wisconsin wins that game. They'll be moving on Thursday. Not that we can count on anything in basketball. If a team is playing right now, you cannot count on them. You have no idea. Nobody has any idea what's going on. We're going to talk about that in Playmakers today. We have no idea what's going on. Seth and I will talk about how we have no idea what is going on. The madness of March. All of that. We're also going to talk about the World Baseball Classic. Looking forward to that in Playmakers today. And Seth and I are also going to get into something that I think is pretty cool. The Green Bay Packers and the state of Wisconsin are working together to try to get the NFL draft here in Wisconsin. That is a big, big deal, people. That's a huge deal. And not just because it's one of my favorite things in the world. And I've never actually gotten to go to it in person. And if it's in Green Bay, I'd run a sports show, I'd almost have to do the show from there, right? I'd have to go there for the NFL draft.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's part of my job. We're going to talk about that and plenty more. Seth joining us for Playmakers today. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. We'll have that for you from 10 to 11 today. Be sure to join us for that. And I did want to touch on Morning Magazine and the morning show here just a little bit. So the morning show, tomorrow Melissa and I will be hanging out together. Wednesday, we'll get the James gang together, as they call it. Seth and Melissa will be with us. Thursday, Terry, and on Friday, Seth will be with us. Morning Magazine, very interesting week of Morning Magazine. Tomorrow, we kick things off with our good friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Katie Wright's going to be with us. We'll have John also as part of that, part of the leadership class.
Excellent.
And afterwards, we'll talk with Jess and catch up with our friends at the Family Center.
Good.
Got to get my voice ready because the rest of the week, it's always business, but we got some serious business to be taken care of. On Wednesday, we'll be kicking off our interviews with the Wisconsin Rabbit School Board candidates.
Wonderful.
We have Kathy Stebbins-Heinz joining us, and then we're going to have Craig Lambert join us, who is the candidate for the Wood County Circuit Branch 4 judge. Mike Deary will join us after that as a school board candidate.
We'll also be having Chris Inda joining us as well on Thursday. Then, and part two of Thursday, we'll have Jasmine Cabral join us, 4-H coordinator with UW Extension.
Mm.
On Friday, Tim Giebert is going to be joining us, candidate for Wood County Circuit Branch 4 judge. And then John Krings, candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board.
Okay.
We have a little bit of a, we'll see if we can fit some other things in on that second, that last interview of the week. Each candidate will be 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have pretty much the same questions for each candidate. You know, the judges, it's going to be different than the school board candidates. But I kept them basic and to the point.
Good.
And to the point where I can't ramble too much, hopefully.
Good plan.
We're looking forward to this. We of course, we reached out to every candidate. We did not hear back from everybody. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wanted to take advantage of the time. But as long as we are here doing this, we will continue to carry things this way. WFHR has always had the gentleman's agreement that if we offer time to one candidate, we offer it to both.
Mm-hmm.
And we give everybody equal amount of time. And, you know, the way Carl always used to do it is asking the same questions. That's kind of what I'm going to do is the similar outline that he has. We can tell you that we'll have, you know, extensive coverage of this. We have one of the best in the game sitting right across from me right here, and Melissa, who's going to be sure to, when we get close to the April elections, covering this for us when we get that time. Looking forward to it. Do want to thank all the candidates for responding. Got back to us right away. I should say got back to Pam right away, who did a masterful job scheduling all of this. Shout out to Pam Hilke again with the great job there.
Indeed.
We will take a break. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar. More fun to be had on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great March 27th, 2023. Let's tell you what's special about it. It's International Scribble Day.
Hey.
Yeah, scribbling's great. Scribbling's always fun.
It's a great way to kind of focus. They talked about doodling for focusing. It's actually a real thing. Like when you're listening to something, doodling helps.
Yes. Yeah. It is also Quirky Country Music Song Titles Day.
That's a mouthful.
That is a fantastic one. Let me see here. I gotta find out the history of this one here. There's got to be a little more to this one. Come on. Not that our computers are working or anything's really working around here right now.
But some of these song titles are great. I Still Miss You, Baby, But My Aim's Getting Better. You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly.
Mm, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
A little harsh.
Little hard, little to the point. Dirty Old Egg Sucking Dog by Johnny Cash. I know that one. That one I remember. Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life by Bobby Bear from 1976.
Dropkick Me.
It wasn't... Wait, go ahead.
Did we get Beth back?
I don't know. Beth, you there? Nope, not yet.
Okay.
It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. Kitty Wells from 1952. It's a good one.
Oh, and this one's my favorite. You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd by Roger Miller. Such a good song.
That's a really good one. That's a Brad Paisley has a song, I'd Like to Check You for Ticks. That's a good. I like that. I like where he's going with that. That's good. That's good. Now, Jazz has some quirky titles, too, but I don't think anybody tops country music.
Mm-mm.
You can get away with a lot more country music, it feels like.
Yes, I think you can.
It also seems to fit the genre a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to see a lot of hip hop artists doing this. You're not going to. It just doesn't fit the genre as well.
Mm-mm.
International Whiskey Day.
Whiskey. Oh, like as in whiskey.
Yeah. Take a sip of the liquid gold that hails from the barrels of fermented grains. It is a complex, warm, and welcoming elixir. Whiskey has a long and venerable history as one of the most recognizable forms of distilled spirits in the world.
Hmm. Beth, do you like whiskey?
I think it's nice.
No,
oh, we thought we had her back, but we don't.
No, not yet. Not yet. Was hoping we'd have her back. Not yet. Let's see here. I'm double checking on our end to make sure. And everything, yeah, everything's golden on our end. All right. So all whiskey starts with a mash, which is...
I'm here.
Oh, there she is. There's Beth. Hey.
Hello.
Which is sad because I had said Dropkick Me Jesus through the goalposts of life before before you guys got to that one.
Rats.
All whiskey starts with this mash, which is a mixture of grain and water that is slowly heated in order to break down the starch into sugars. The kind of grain that the maker uses will determine what kind of whiskey comes out at the end result.
Hmm.
The result of this process is then known as a wort and is just the beginning of this amazing drink life's journey.
I love that this name came from the Gaelic language. And I don't know how to pronounce those Gaelic words, but it means the water of life.
That is good. The water of life is not what I would thought of with whiskey, but not bad. I get it.
I think it depends on what kind of life you're looking for.
Exactly.
Probably true.
Yeah, very true. Very true. National Spanish Paella Day or Paella?
Paella.
It is paella. Okay.
That's it.
Paella is a traditional Spanish dish made with rice, meat, or fish in a delicious, tasty sauce. I didn't know it can be made with fish. I've always had it made with While many countries and regions have their own recipes and variations, the best paellas are made in Spain on the beach with fresh seafood. Considered by many gastronomic experts to be the ultimate national dish of the country of Spain, this meal seems to be getting more and more popular all over the world, and now it has its own day.
Mm-hmm. I've never had it.
I had it as a kid a bunch. It's not bad.
I think I've had it. I know I've heard of it and seen others who've had it. But it can be delicious when it's made right.
Yeah, Spanish rice, lots of produce, saffron. Mm-hmm. That's important for the color. Spices, seafood or meat, and olive oil, white wine, and chicken stock. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sound like something you'd try, Melissa?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd try that. Mm-hmm. As long as you leave out the tomatoes.
And to wrap up our National Day of Calendar, finally, it is World Theater Day.
Perfect.
Acting! I was merely acting. Is it really World Theater Day or am I acting? Dating back,
that was such a great bit.
It was a classic bit. Dating back a few thousand years, theater is a unique and interesting part of the culture that has certainly evolved over time. The word theater gets its roots from an ancient Greek word that means a place for seeing. And that definition continues to be meaningful today. Even after so many centuries, theater continues to be used as a way to not only tell stories and see things, but to make an impact on culture and society at large. Whether writing and directing, producing and acting, creating beautiful costumes, or doing lighting and scene design, theater is a medium of art that requires a wide range of talented artists involving in a variety of ways. And the World Theater Day is here to show appreciation for those who give to their time and talent to make the show go on. Because the show always must go on, as we are proving today. What is a stage? What is theater? I think that has evolved and changed quite a bit over the times. I have joked, we had Chris Lee on Director's Cut yesterday, and I joke, you know, welcome to the WFHR stage, Chris Lee. And I joke that this is this metaphorical stage, our show of ours and everything. There's obviously the real stages and those things. But a street corner can be a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen just about everything become a stage at some point or another.
Yeah, the deck in your backyard.
I think that theater is one of those things that everybody should give a shot, whether it's working backstage or being on stage or anything like that. I encourage everybody to give a show a chance, see a play.
Attend a show.
Yes. Especially if you have never done that, give it a chance. I've talked to people before that don't really get into movies and TV shows. So they haven't even really seen a play or anything. And then they end up getting into theater because it's a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You are seeing, breathing the same air as the people on that stage. That means something.
Yeah.
That there's a collection, there's a collaboration that it gets involved there that the audience isn't always aware of. But the audience is just as integral a part as the people on stage knowing their lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because we need an applause or you need an audience to be able to perform or anything like that. The energy, to me, if you're any good at what you're doing, the energy that the audience has, you are picking up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a slow night, you're picking up the energy. If it's a fast night, you are keeping up with that pace. Whatever it is, you are breathing with that audience. You are breathing the same. It's like you have the same rhythm. Like you're breathing in the same pattern. It, mm-hmm. It's when it's done right, that's the beauty of theater. I have a new. We have some new students in this new semester, and talking to one of them, he was a former athlete, and he broke his leg, tore a bunch of tendons, couldn't continue with his career and everything. And was struggling for something that brought him that collaboration, brought him that teamwork vibe.
Yeah, fulfillment. Mm-hmm.
He had a teacher tell him to give theater a try.
Hmm.
And now he loves it. And he can't get enough of it and everything. And he said, and for him, it gives him almost the same feeling that it did playing basketball.
Yeah, that camaraderie and you're building a family, basically, mm-hmm. when you're working on a show together.
I also believe, and I say that I don't say this snobby esque or anything. I say it because I think that when it comes to the arts, acting tends to be one of the ones that gets picked on the most and treated the less, like it's not as much of a talent as it is something you could just memorize. And I don't begrudge that. If you watch some actors, that's all they give you is that they were able to memorize their lines and that's it. I understand that, but I think that there's a huge, huge difference of working on a TV show, a movie, a commercial, any of that stuff, and doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the greats can do it live. If you can't do it live, you cannot be considered one of the greats.
Mm.
End of sentence. Mm-hmm. That's just for me. That's my opinion. As long as I've been studying this since I was 7 years old, the greats all were able to do it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel, Cary Grant, Sidney Poitier, anybody you want to talk about, Jodie Foster, anybody, they all can do it on stage.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes. And I mean, currently, I believe, working on stage, Benedict Cumberbatch over. And I don't pick on her. I bring her up because I feel she is a great example. Julia Roberts. I don't think many people would say Julia Roberts is a bad actor. I'm not saying that. No. I don't think Julia Roberts is a bad actor at all. I think she's done some really great performances. She survived two shows on Broadway.
Hmm.
Done. Couldn't do it. It just shows you there's a huge difference between those that can and you know do that and those that can't. I think theater is where you, like they always like to say, the rubber meets the road.
Hmm.
Like those that can do this, you know, well, and those that you know could actually pull this off, could actually maybe make something of this. It's part of the reason why I have such a healthy respect for community theater.
Hmm.
I don't care if you see somebody up there bumbling their lines and struggling. That's a brave human being right there.
That's
somebody that may be able to do this professionally, even if you do see them struggling up there and everything.
With live theater, you have to rely on your whole body to be able to get the message across. You can't just rely on facial reactions because not everybody in the audience is going to be close enough to see that minute little look that you create.
Right.
And no two performances are ever the same because it depends on the energy. Like you said, it's a symbiotic relationship with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other actors on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know what could happen.
Nope. And you never get a chance to get a second take. There are no second takes in live theater.
For sure.
1000 BC, ancient Greek theater begins. Plays for entertainment and education are based on ancient myths or legends.
Hmm.
Flash forward to 1599, when Shakespeare's Globe Theater opens. In the 1600s, Kabuki Theater begins in Japan. 1735, the first theater opens on Broadway. And in 1962, the first World Theater Day is celebrated. And Melissa, you and I kind of shortchanging this. Well, Beth and Seth both, you know, celebrated World Theater Day this weekend. You and
at
I,
the theater.
We didn't do our job. Yeah. We should. No. I mean, these guys are at least doing their job over there. They covered it. Nice job, you two. Nicely done.
We got you covered. We're here for you.
Take a quick commercial break. We will get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about this Disney superfan. We got this Disney superfan coming up.
All right.
On the way. On the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great one out there. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. Hopefully your Monday is treating you good. We're certainly going to. Got this one for you. Now, Beth, you weren't with us in the beginning this morning. I was teasing this.
Okay.
We have a Disney super fan here we got to talk about.
Okay.
So a Disney super fan named Nathan Firesheets. That's his real last name, Fire Sheets.
All right.
It's a great last name. Yep.
Does that set up the whole story? I guess we're going to find out.
We're going to see. He just went to all 12 Disney theme parks in the world and did it in 12 days.
Whoa. That's a lot.
That takes some planning.
Yeah, he hit one park per day and didn't just pop in and leave. He also went on every single operating ride. All 216 of them. Wow, 216 rides. Dang.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah.
And here's a quick rundown of his trip. A few of the parks are in the same general area, which made things easier. He started at Disneyland Paris on March 8th and went to Walt Disney Studios Parks and on March 9th, also in Paris. After that, he immediately flew to China and went to Shanghai Disneyland on the 10th, then Hong Kong Disneyland on the 11th. He headed to Japan next and went to Tokyo Disneyland on the 12th and Tokyo Disney Sea on the 13th. After that, he flew from Tokyo to California and went to Disneyland on the 14th and Disney California Adventure on the 15th. Then he headed to Walt Disney World in Florida and finished up with Epcot on the 16th, Disney Animal Kingdom on the 17th, and the Hollywood Studios on the 18th. Finally, Disney's Magic Kingdom on the 19th this past Sunday. He documented the whole thing for his YouTube page, which had about 1,000 followers. Not very many. He called it the Disney Globe Ride Challenge, but hasn't posted the footage yet. He also hasn't revealed how much the trip cost.
Quite a bit.
I immediately think of what does this person do for a living?
Right. To take that many days just to travel around the world to go to Disney parks.
It's expensive. So he must have either gone into a lot of debt or saved up for quite a while to be able to do that.
Because the airfare alone would be in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, and depending on what park and what day, you're looking at, it's well over $100 for a one-day park pass to any of the theme parks. So it's not cheap to go to Disney anymore.
Well, was it ever? I don't know.
When Walt opened up Disneyland, it was free to get into the park. You just paid per ride, which is why the rides had different ticket levels as well. So you had an A ticket, which was your more kiddie rides that weren't all that thrilled, and then an E ticket, which were your more thrill rides, things like Space Mountain and Splash Mountain. So his goal was to try to make it affordable so that families could spend time together riding rides. Unfortunately, throughout the generations, that's changed. Now you have to pay to get into the park, and then you have to pay for extra things while you're in the park, and now they do this whole Genie Hopper thing, which is your way to try to get past the line onto rides, and that costs you something. So yeah, they're finding every little way to nickel and dime you.
I had no idea there were half of these. I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive or anything like that. I generally did not know that they had two of these in Paris.
I didn't either.
I didn't know about the ones in China and Japan. I assumed that they're ones, but I didn't know the names of them or anything like that. I honestly don't do this very often, but I'm being very American here. I knew about the American ones, and that's it. that's all I was familiar with. And to be completely real with everybody, I'd forgotten about Epcot. Completely forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And I assumed that Animal and Magic Kingdom were pretty much the same thing. Like they were right next to each other, and there was like just like a like you walk down one street's Animals, one street Magic. Like I don't know. I really can't wrap my mind, I guess, around how big these parks are, or how big this is.
I actually was working and was an opening cast member for Disney's Animal Kingdom when it opened up back in the 90s. It opened up, I believe it was April 1st, 1998. There are four theme, and that's what, you know, when people say Walt Disney World, they automatically in their mind, they go to the Magic Kingdom. That's the park that they're thinking of in their mind. And there are actually those four theme parks down there that make up all of Walt Disney World. And he didn't even mention there are cruise lines. There are at least two or three.
Good thing he didn't try to do that,
too. That you could go on, too.
You know, you got to wonder how Disney survives, you know? how do they make it through the day? How do they
so rough.
I mean, wow. Jeez. I every time I think I have a good idea of like how big a conglomerate is or something like that, and I see something like there's what other businesses have their own parks and like world and everything. Like I think that Walmart's pretty big. I think we all agree that Walmart's one of the bigger conglomerates in the world and everything. They ain't got a park. I mean, it's insane how big. I mean, it would be very nothing against Walmart. Seems like it'd be a boring park, though. If Walmart had a park, I don't know how exciting it might be.
Yeah, or how well it would hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might break down pretty quickly.
That too. Yeah. But all the rides are, you just buy things in bulk. That's all it is. You're just buying something in bulk and trying to get it into your cart because it won't fit. Why? I've only been to like Sam's Club and places like that a couple of times in my life. But I went in there and my aunt made fun of me for this. So maybe you guys will make fun of me too. I could not understand why they did not have bigger carts. They had the same size carts they do at the regular guy. Like everything in those stores are like bulk. Why wouldn't the carts be bigger, like to fit the bulk stuff? I didn't understand. I got ripped on for days on this one, but I don't care. I think I have a point.
You got to go to Costco.
Yeah,
Costco has the bigger carts.
Do they?
The flatbed carts.
Yeah. See, yeah. Costco's got it right.
And their regular push carts are bigger than what you would get in a general grocery store or Walmart.
I knew it wasn't a crazy thought. I cannot wait to call my aunt.
But they also. They also made their aisles wider so you could get two carts down the same aisle.
That's a smart idea, and I know that a lot of time and money and energy goes into these things, so I don't say this lightly. Work on your darn parking lots.
Yeah.
For the love of all that is, redesign these parking lots and everything.
Mm-hmm.
See, another place where Disney has it going on, because they cart you. They literally have a ride. Your first ride is your tram ride from the parking lot to the front of the gate.
Oh, nice. Disney.
Yeah, because their parking lots are separated from the park itself.
And massive.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. We will take a quick commercial break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Just watching the wheels go around.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing.
Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Thanks for kicking off your week with us around here. 7:47 on the clock. Going to take you right to the top of the hour with some fun stuff. Got this one right here for you guys I want to get into because it's a little... I think it's kind of interesting, but there's a number of layers to these couple of articles I have back, kind of piggybacking each other here to take us to the top of the hour. Ranking the 11 best fast food ice cubes.
Ice cubes.
I don't know about this one. I'm not sure about this one here. A new poll found that 16% of people always eat the ice when drinking something iced, and 40% of people sometimes do. So where do you go to find the tastiest ice?
Well, ice is food.
It is.
The DailyMeal.com recently ranked 11 fast food places on the best ice cubes. And it's just as strange as you'd imagine. First up, who got that gig? Like as a reporter? Like,
I don't know. That's cold.
Tony, nice, Beth. Nicely done. Tony, we're going to have you go around and check out all the Italian cuisine places, see who's got the best Italian cuisine. Mm-hmm. Meredith, I'll have you go ahead and check out Asian cuisines. And Bill, you get to check ice. Like,
at fast food restaurants.
Yeah. Sonic is number one with, quote, the perfect ice. They aren't cubes. They're nuggets that are crunchable, but are still hard enough that they don't melt too quickly.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A is second because of their ice chills drinks without watering them down. One person on Reddit says, I can never throw my Chick-fil-A cup away until I've finished eating all my ice. Something called Zaxby's is third, followed by Dairy Queen, Pizza Hut, Starbucks, Jimmy John's, Dunkin', Burger King, and McDonald's, which is second to last.
That's interesting. So is it the way that the ice is made? Because those first ones you said are nuggets as opposed to ice cubes. Mm-hmm. And then what the second one it had to do with the cup. Like that the cup, maybe it's a styrofoam cup that keeps it frozen longer.
Taco Bell was last with uneven lumps of frozen water, so bad it's embarrassing, they say. In fact, some people ask for no ice at Taco Bell because of the subpar consistency.
Wow.
So I thought this would have all to do with flavor.
Well, yeah, but how could it? Because
that's what I was wondering.
Water is going to be different everywhere, and they don't like ship these places ice cubes.
So I admit I had this article completely wrong going into it. It does have different factors in it than I wouldn't have thought of. There's a little more meat on the bone than I thought of on this article, so that's interesting. I do think that the nuggets thing, the crunchable part, that is, I see what they're talking about there. I wouldn't have thought about it until saying it out loud, and now I kind of think about it.
That's probably the only ice that I would be willing to chew on.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, ice chips. I mean, like, the kind you get in the hospital, those are okay, too, but they're not... Like, the nuggets would, I think, be better than just ice cubes.
We don't get to do this very often. Shout out to hospital ice. I think that may be the best ice.
It might be.
Honestly, I think that might be the best ice. That's a great reference right there. I don't know. The only thing I would think that is a factor is if you're Taco Bell and people are like talking like that much
trash
like,
about your ice cubes.
Yeah, like that seems really rough. Finishing it, you're like, you know, in the middle of the pack here or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, it's not so bad. But if people,
dead last.
That's rough. If people are like, no ice, make sure there's no ice.
In my opinion, they should be dead last because they got rid of the 7-layer burrito. They deserve
Can
that
we turn
placement.
Those sour grapes into ice grapes and use those instead?
Maybe.
I can't think of
pretty
a place.
Bitter.
I can't think of a place I've ever been where I like the ice though. That's for sure.
Well, I'm not an ice. Like I don't eat ice typically, so I would have zero opinion on this. Is there ice in my drink? Yes. All right, you pass.
And I tend to order drinks with no ice for two reasons. One, you get more liquid in your cup that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't take up the space.
And it doesn't water it down.
Yeah. Well, not the watering down. It's the I've watched too many Food Network shows where they talk about how many places don't clean their ice machines.
And
the amount of bacteria and stuff that's in there. It's just, to me, it's healthier to just not get ice in the first place, especially through a fast food restaurant.
I've gotten to a point where I don't order drinks very often from places anymore.
Well, they're so expensive for what you get.
The price, the health factor Beth was talking about there and everything. Yeah, I just, and I think one of the last times I did it was one of those value meal things. And I got my drink, and I am not joking, at least 20% ice.
Yep.
At least. And it's like
they tell you exactly how full to fill those cups with ice so that they're not, that's cheaper than the soda. Which is also very cheap.
There's not. I don't know if I've been to a fast food place either where their food sizes and portions have all like changed since the pandemic. Like every place, it feels like almost every single place has changed in some way or another, and it's all not for the better either. Like,
well, no, they're remaking package sizes smaller,
and selling them for the same price.
Yep.
Yeah, I say that like there's no, but I can't think of any place that I wouldn't go to because oh god, their ice is so bad. I, like I said, I'm not going to maybe order a drink from there, but I guess it isn't that bad. But it does sound like, especially looking at the again, you can go to thedailymeal.com. It's all one word, thedailymeal.com, and see this entire article. The only place where people like were going out of their way to talk trash about it was Taco Bell,
as like, they should,
which they're saying in this article. Can be part of the, like, apparently Taco Bell has been struggling with sales over the last handful of years, going back to the pandemic again. This is not helping.
No.
That's interesting to me.
I could have told them that. If they just asked me, I'd tell them what to do to fix their restaurant problem.
I sent them your information. I sent them your email, your phone number. I told them the hours you're available. I don't know why they haven't gotten a hold of you.
It's their loss.
Told them to listen to this show.
Yes.
Because we mention it quite often.
Well, I don't know if they'd appreciate hearing me rip on them, but...
So we... And no such thing as bad press now, it is. So we go from that to this one right here. Ice cubes have three main purposes: to make drinks cold, to keep them cold, and in some cases, to intentionally dilute them to mellow them out, like or coffee or alcohol. The ice is not there for you to snack on, but some people are into that. In a new poll, 16% of people say that they always consume the ice before it melts when drinking something iced.
Really?
40% of people sometimes eat the ice, 28% of people rarely do, and 13% never do. Mm. When broken down by demographic, men are more likely to munch on ice than women, and younger adults are more likely to do it than elder folks. The poll also asked if people prefer to drink water or with or without ice. 53% say that they prefer iced water, 41% like it without ice, and 6% aren't sure. Just what?
That is a pretty odd thing to not be sure about. Mm-hmm. I prefer it without ice.
6%. I could handle 2%. I could handle 2%, not 6.
And I could see a lot more young kids eating ice than older. Yeah. Like, I see that.
Wasn't there
I'd like to hear what a dentist had to say about this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I suppose it's a matter of how aggressively you eat your ice.
Right.
Is probably what's going to cause issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's super frozen. You need to get
some of those mugs that you can put into the freezer. Mm-hmm. And then just pull out the iced mug and fill it with whatever liquid you want.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was an old wise tale about chewing ice or people that chew their ice or chomp it or whatever. But the only thing that I've seen here is it can be a indicate early on of the psychological disorder PICA. That's that compulsion where you want to eat things that are non-food, like dirt and Legos and that kind of stuff. And that's interesting. I didn't see it going that direction.
I don't think Legos would be good for your teeth.
No.
Certainly not great for your
Among
feet.
Among other things.
Mm-hmm. Nothing hurts worse than stepping on a Lego. You could step on a literal spike, and it would not hurt as much as stepping on a Lego. I don't know why, but it's like that. Yeah, I see these two articles kind of tying together. That's why I wanted to do them back to back and everything. As far as like how many people do eat this ice, I'm just still stuck on these 6% of people that aren't sure. I'm sorry, I got really stuck on that for a second there. How do you not know?
Well, it sounds like it changes the older that you get, and I'm kind of not surprised because if you have sensitive teeth to temperature, you're not going to want to be chewing on ice like you did before you had that sensitivity.
No.
Yeah, I stopped chewing ice in my 20s for that very reason.
I just don't do it very often unless I get, like, I'm drinking out of a cup and I get an ice cube in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Then I will probably, you know, suck on it until it's softer and then chew it. But I don't like chewing on cold things. I don't like ice cream bars that I have to chew. I usually wait until they melt.
The time of year then, too. Because I would be more inclined to keep ice in my mouth over the summer when I'm hot as a way to try to cool me off than in the middle of winter when I'm already cold.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if they'd save a lot of time here and just, like, if you want ice, you got to ask for it. Like, otherwise, your drink's just like, we're talking fast food here. I don't know. I don't know that it's on the fast food place that if you don't finish your drink in 10 hours, it's not still cold. Like, that's not on them.
No.
It's fast food. You're not supposed to be, like, dragging this out throughout the whole day and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't finish it in an hour or two and it warms up, that's on you. I think you could probably save a lot of time here just, not, you know, getting this whole thing out of the situation. Just, you know, no ice. No ice at all, unless you ask for it. But
that's the cost factor. Then they're spending more on the soda.
Oh,
Whereas if they put the ice in the cup, it's cheaper for them.
I don't see that happening as far as the no ice thing because of that very factor right there.
And no, because that
is that an American thing? Don't they serve beverages without ice in Europe?
Mm.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I know they serve their beer warm sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Room temperature.
That's true. Huh. Not sure. But I do know that Misty's Menu has great ice. Mm. I know they have a good over there. And they are going to be showing up in our, of course, in our next hour with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're looking forward to diving into that. That is going to be a lot of fun. We've also got some other great stories we're going to get into. I want to touch on Starbucks and the Zodiac sign thing. We'll get into that right after. Of course, we're joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. I believe Paul Trombley will be joining us. Get a live and direct weather update from him. Looking forward to that. And a little bit later, of course, in the show, we'll have some entertainment news for you. We'll have some Daddy Wright stories, good stories of the day, and all that leading up. 9 o'clock hour, kitchen's open. That's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up right here on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.